Father, as always, I thank you. And I give you the praise. And I give you the glory. Thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. We ask today, Lord, that you cause that light to shine in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to read a story. I'm hoping a popular story that most people know. But I want to bring out some lessons here. Title of today's is The Brook, The Ravens, and The Widow. A lesson or some lessons out of this story in the life of Elijah, the prophet. Now, this story is taken from 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm going to read, we're going to be talking from verses 1 through about 16. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Well, let's take a look at that right away. And this is the first introduction that we see of this man. We don't know too much about him. I mean, he's not being introduced here as, you know, this is his father, this is his mother, he's of this household and that or the other. I mean, he's just right out there. And he comes out to this wicked King Ahab, you know, and says to him, well, until I say so, there will be no more rain or dew. Because according to my word, for I have stood before the Lord. Now, that's a powerful, confident statement that someone should make. How can you come out and say there will be no rain and no dew until you call for it? Confidence in this man. And when he said it, you know, he just said it. It's kind of like he locked up the heavens, put the key in his pocket and walked away. But we see something that he said. Before whom I stand, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. You know, so he's bringing this declaration by the Lord, and he said, before whom I stand. Before whom I stand means he's always in the presence of the Lord. Lord already told him what he was going to do. He didn't just come out there without the Lord. You know, but, you know, he had the assurance from God what he was going to do, and he went out and boldly declared it. Praise the Lord. And wasn't afraid of anyone's faces either. Said it. And then the word of the Lord came unto him and said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now that's the brook. That's part of our lesson today. There are several key elements in today's lesson. The brook is one of them. The other one is the ravens, and then there's also the widow. So it's the brook, the ravens, and the widow. Those are the elements in today's lesson. But when the Lord told him here, get thee hence, that means get away from here. Turn thee eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. 1 Kings 17 is where we're reading. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, God is bringing together the brook and the ravens right here. Now, the Lord said a few times to Elijah that he had commanded certain things that Elijah knew nothing about. You know, this is one of them. We'll see another one a little bit later on. So the Lord said, go over to this brook and stay there. And I'm going to send the ravens to feed you there. My goodness. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now he obeyed the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And you talk about room service. The ravens, they brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh again in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And every day, you know, these ravens, they brought him fresh food and something to eat. My goodness. Now, let's consider this for a bit. This man, he knew the Lord whom he served. He stayed in the presence of God. He was confident about his errand that the Lord had sent him. He declared it. And it did not matter for him whether there was going to be famine in the land or a shortage of rain or dew. He's going to be succored by this brook, and ravens are going to bring him food. I don't know where they got the food from, but, you know, they're going to bring him food every day. Now, we're going to be talking about the ravens in a bit, but let me bring out, you know, this lesson here that the Lord is able to sustain us even during famine and drought. And of course, Elijah was accustomed to being in God's presence. And he knew that the word of the Lord was sure. Whatever the Lord told him, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now here are some promises for us for the times of shortage. You know, I mean, there are hard times, you know, some of our folks that live in Nigeria, especially at this time, experiencing some tremendous hardship. And, you know, that may be the case in other places too. But here are some lessons on what God is able to do. Now, it wasn't Elijah's place to figure out where the ravens were getting the food from. He just believed the word of the Lord. And here's what he says in Psalm 92 and verse 12. He said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Now, that's flourish. That's not just, you know, surviving. That's flourish means thriving. And God wants us to thrive and not just barely survive. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. The palm tree has been known to, you know, be able to withstand many things. And can still remain green most of the time. I know we have some palm trees in our yard. A couple in the front. One also in the back. And no matter what's going on, when all the other plants are looking dead from the winter and all, this palm tree continues to flourish. You know, and he says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, this man, Elijah, was planted in the presence of the Lord. He said, you know, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. So he was someone that was acquainted with being in the presence of the Lord. And when you are planted in the house of the Lord, this scripture promises us that you will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, we know what the house of the Lord is. It's a house of fellowship with other believers. Everyone needs to have a home, what we call a home church, where they fellowship. You need to find one that truly believes the Bible and believes the word of God. You know, and where you can fellowship and get some uplift, you know, by the corporate assembling of one another together. It brings an uplift. You know, so when you are in fellowship, Jesus promised that where two or three gather together in my name, I will be there in their midst. Well, if he's there, then he always does the thing that he knows how to do best, is to bring a, he leaves a blessing, you know, wherever he goes. So take a note of Psalm 92, verses 12 to 14. It tells you that you will flourish, you know, like the palm tree. And especially if you are planting the house of the God, of our God, you will flourish in the courts of our God. Now, courts of our God, that's the entire world, because the world is his and he made it. You know, the earth and the, everything that therein is, those are the courts of the Lord. So wherever you are, God has promised that you can flourish no matter what's going on around you. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing when everybody else is lean, you know, and looking haggard and, you know, just looking really bad, in a bad shape. The promise of God to you is that you will be flourishing. Why? In order for us to show that the Lord is upright. And he said, he is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. There are a few more promises of God's blessing, even in the time of difficulties all around. You know, Psalms 33. Let's read a couple of verses, starting at, you know, verse 18. Hallelujah. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Glory to God. If you fear the Lord, the scripture says, the eye of the Lord is upon you. And what will he do for you? Well, read it right here with me. He says that he will, I mean, even for those that hope in his mercy. When you are hoping in his mercy, his eye will be upon you to deliver your soul from death. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And to keep you alive even during famine. Now, and not just barely keep you alive, he knows how to make you flourish as well. You know, so when the, when everything else is going wrong around you, the Lord is able to keep your soul from death, keep you alive in famine. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Thy mercy, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. You know, that's the measure of his grace and mercy that will be upon you by the level of your hope and trust in him. Powerful promises that God will keep you no matter what's going on around you. Here's another one in Psalm 37 and verses 18 and 19. God is able at any time, you know, to keep us and to make us flourish, you know, and no matter what is going on, here is your testimony will be, glory to God. It says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. That's Psalm 37, verses 18 and 19. They shall not be ashamed, even in the evil time. That's right. You know, the Lord knows how to protect his people from shame, even in the evil time. You know, when there is evil all around, you know, and when there is famine, we're reading the story of Elijah, but we're bringing out many lessons here. The Lord knows how to satisfy them even during famine. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what the Lord is telling us here. Hallelujah. He says that they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Well, there was famine in the land. Elijah himself brought that famine, and he himself became a, you know, victim of the same thing. But God, you know, took care of him. God gave him commandment of where to go and how he would be sustained. He obeyed the Lord, and of course, he was sustained. Now, he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now, here's another lesson. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And the way that God will do things, they are not our, you know, necessarily the way that we will go about doing things. Now, you might want to study and learn these verses in Isaiah 55 because they are simple but powerful. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. Neither are your ways my ways. You know, the way that we go about things and how we look for sustenance is not the way that God necessarily will do it. His thoughts are not the way of our own thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the Lord told us that. Now, God has his own methods, and we need to not trust in our own understanding, but trust in him, because he has a way that he can do these things. Now, the brook was a natural supply of a small stream. That's all it could be. You know, I mean, it could dry up at any time when there will be no rain. I mean, a brook is a small stream. It's not like, you know, the large Russian rivers. It's just a small brook. But it's still moving, and it got clean water. And so God sent him there. So the brook will give limited supply, and it's liable to being dried up when there is no water supply from a higher source to the brook. So we find out that, you know, the brook actually dried up after a period of time. But before I get to that, let me talk about the ravens that God used. And to bring out this point that God can use whatever he wants, no matter which way we think, no matter what's in our heads. You know, sometimes, you know, we have certain ideas in our heads, but I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you about ravens. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, here is what God said about ravens, just in case you don't know. You know, now, there are many things that God said were unclean in those days. Many birds that were unclean. Raven was one of them. Listen to this. Leviticus 11 and verse 13. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls and birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, such as the eagle, the ossifrage, and the osprey, the vulture, and the kite, and the shark, and all of that, after his kind. And every raven after his kind, the owl, the night hawk, the cuckoo, the hawk after his kind, the little owl, and on and on and on, the pelican and so on. So God named all the unclean birds. And so, as far as God is concerned, ravens were classified among the unclean birds. Yet, he chose to use the ravens. Now, that's a lesson, that's a hidden lesson in there that God can use whatsoever he wants. He is the master and the creator of the universe, and all the universe responds to him. He can even open the mouth of a donkey to speak, as we saw in the story of Balaam, you know, when his donkey's mouth was opened by the angel of the Lord to speak a rebuke to the seer. Now, so we see that ravens are a class among the unclean birds. Yet, God chose to use the ravens in this lesson about supernatural supply. Now, that's the lesson that we are seeing here. God is able to supply your needs, not according to your thoughts, not according to what you think, not according to, you know, plenty in the land, not according to your job or the job you don't have. As it is written in the book of Philippians 4 and 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Now, when he says the Lord shall supply our need according to his riches, he didn't say he will supply your need according to your job. So it's not according to the job you have or the job you don't have. You know, sometimes you may even be laid off from your job, but nonetheless, the Lord has a way to supply your needs. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that means in season and out of season. In season is when the land is flourishing, there is food in the markets, you know, there is rain, there is dew and everything. In season is when everything is dried up, you know, like Elijah here, the heavens were brass, there was no rain and so forth. But he and he alone, see, now if you can pull faith with God, never mind what God's doing to others or not doing, God can meet your needs. Elijah, God supplied his needs supernaturally by sending him ravens to bring him food from who knows where. But they brought him food anyway. And despite the fact that these ravens were classified as unclean birds, God can use whatever he wants to meet your needs. There's also another element in that story. As we go back to our story in 1 Kings 17, that because there had been no rain for a period of time, it came to pass after some time. See, it came to pass after some time that the brook dried up. You read that in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 17. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, you know, that's the question again that I pose to every one of us. And I often like to pose this question when I'm on this subject. Could God, who commanded the raven, remember, I have commanded the ravens to feed you and sustain you there. Now, once God commands, it must be done. You know, once he speaks, it will stand fast. So he commanded the ravens, they will do it, whether they like it or not. Now, the God who commanded the ravens to bring food, I guarantee you, it's good fresh food that God commanded the ravens to bring to him. Serving is like food, you know, it's like room service. You just be sleeping, knock on your door and bring you food. God who did all of that, could he not have sustained the brook without it drying up? I mean, let's ask ourselves that question for a bit. When the Lord sends you, you being Elijah, to the brook, and after a while the brook dried up, there is a lesson, many lessons to be learned in that. You know, the instruction that God gave you yesterday may be different. I mean, the one that he's going to give you today may be different from the one he gave you yesterday. And unless we know how to properly discern the mind of the Spirit, you know, we may struggle. And I see a lot of people struggle because they don't know how to discern the mind of the Spirit. One time the Lord said to Elijah, go up to the brook. I'm going to send ravens to feed you. Then the next time the brook dried up. And so the question is, could not the Lord have caused the brook not to dry? Absolutely. You know, I mean, he's the Lord. I mean, he can send rain to that brook, whereas there's no rain anywhere else. He could do it, but he didn't do it. You know, so now if he didn't do it, now if I were in the shoes of Elijah and you were in the shoes of Elijah, what would you be doing at this point in time when your means of supply have been cut off? God sent you there. You knew it was point blank. The Lord has sent you there. And then all of a sudden the thing dried up. Now, what does that mean? Well, you will stand there and begin to blast in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and praying and causing the devil to get his hands off of that brook. That's what many of us will do. We'll be there. We'll pray all night long vigil. I'm praying that God, you know, the devil, I rebuke you. Take your hands off of the brook, you know, and you'll be blasting and praying and jumping up and down and so forth. But that brook is dry. And there are times when that brook is dry, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord said the brook is dry, you know. I'm, you know, that instruction is finished. But you could be there praying the brook to not be dry. God could have prevented the brook from not drying up, but he did not. Just let it be. Because he has something else. It's a fresh instruction that's coming now. The instruction about going to the brook, you obeyed it, that's done. He's got new instruction for you. But if you don't know how to discern the mind of the Spirit, you will be there praying against the brook for not drying up. You know, you'll be praying and praying and wasting your prayer. Lord said that brook is dry. You know, I'm going to give you new instruction. You know, so that's another lesson for us to understand there. God could have prevented the brook from drying up, but he did not. And he allowed the brook to dry up. There were many things there. One, to test, you know, Elijah, if we will continue to have confidence in the instructions of the Lord. That's number one. You know, because when God instructed you to go to this place and then all of a sudden the brook dried up, will you continue to trust him for new instruction? Elijah did. And the Lord, this is what he told him this time around. Arise and get thee up and go to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you and sustain you there. Now, this is the second time the Lord is commanding something that Elijah knew nothing about. Even though Elijah was a man that was acquainted with the presence of the Lord, he knew nothing about the brook. God had to tell him. He knew nothing about the ravens. God had to tell him. He knew nothing. He might have been surprised that the brook was dried up, just like, you know, wow, the brook is dry. Maybe he wanted to say, why, Lord, the brook dried up? And God said, don't worry about it. Get up. It's done. Move on. You know, so the brook is dry, ladies and gentlemen. There are times, you know, you got to move on. You know, sometimes we're struggling on the job and this and that, you know, and God will allow certain situations in order for you, you know, he's got what I call a divine appointment. He's coming here. There's a divine appointment, and a divine appointment is an arrangement of parties to meet that God arranged, which maybe neither of the parties knew anything about, but God arranged it anyway. We see one coming up in this story here. Elijah did not know about this woman who was a widow in Zarephath, you know, until God told him. The woman herself didn't know anything about it, but God sent Elijah there anyway. So Elijah obeyed and went. And as he went, when he got to the gate of the city, behold, there was a widow woman there gathering some sticks. Now, in his mind, Elijah, of course, he didn't know what the widow woman looked like. You know, maybe there were certain veils and things that widow women used to wear in those days, according to their culture. But there could be many widow women. In fact, Jesus told that story later on to the Jews. He said, look, were there not many widows in the day of Elijah? What, he was sent to only one of them? So there were many widows. You know, but Elijah was sent to only one of them. Now, this particular woman came to gather sticks. And when Elijah saw her, you know, he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, it's been going, we don't know how long it was, all the way to Zarephath from Jordan, you know, and it might have been many days' journey. And he's now weary and worn out. We don't even know that during that journey that God sustained him at all. You know, so by this time, he is weary, he is worn out. He had to go through that experience. He's going to experience something else. And this man is going from glory to glory. He's going from experience to experience. Now, at the end of the age, God promised us Elijah saints. I want you to pay attention because that's where we're going. That's why we're bringing these things out in the story of Elijah. The things that he experienced. There's coming a group of people, and now he already here, that will be like this Elijah. They experience many things. We call them Elijah saints at the end. So pay attention to these stories in the life of Elijah. Now, this man, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel to drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her again and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. Now, the ravens are gone. The brook is gone. He hasn't had anything to drink for days, you know. Wow. For days. And so the woman said, well, she looked at the man. The man probably looked like, was kind of rough. The rough man, maybe he looked like a prophet or something, you know. And, so she said to him, look, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have nothing, you know, in the house except this little thing, you know, I've just got this little flour left and I am going to, go and bake it. And my son, we're going to eat it as our last meal and we are going to die. You know, that's what he said. That's what she said to him. So, but Elijah said to her, there is no one dying today. Fear not. Nobody is dying today. Go and do as you have said, but you bring me first something. For thus saith the Lord. Now, when that comes out like that, that changes everything. All of a sudden, Elijah himself now recognizes that this has to be the woman that God told him about. And he's going to bring the word of the Lord now. Now, remember, it's a long journey. He's weary. He hasn't, in fact, according to Google, the distance between Jordan and Zarephath, you know, could be many, many miles. Now, in the olden days, you know, the Jordan in Israel is different from the Jordan we have in Minnesota today and so on. But just to let you know that it was a long, long drawn out journey, and he's weary. I may not even have had any strength to bring out the word of the Lord like that, you know, but he did. Praise the Lord. And when he did, the woman went and did what he said. Now, notice something. This woman did not know anything about Elijah. Elijah himself did not know who this woman was until God sent him there. He had to figure it out when he got there. Yet, the Lord said, I have commanded this woman to sustain you. Now, there's a lesson to be learned there and a lesson of faith. That whether a person knows it or not, they may be an instrument that God's going to use to bless you. That's right. This woman didn't know it, but she's going to be the one to sustain him. But it turned out that actually it looked like it was Elijah that sustained the woman. But God had a 2-for-1 blessing That's why he allowed the brook to dry up. This was a woman, perhaps, who knows, maybe her husband was a man that feared the Lord. And she, her husband is gone now, and she left all alone. You know, now, you know, the, there's been famine, everybody, nobody eating, able to drink or so on for years. So everything dried up. This woman has a son, and she's about to say, well, let's fix up our last meal, bake this little cake, we'll eat it, and we'll just hold on. I'm going to hold you tight, and when we die, so be it. You know, and that was all she had that she thought was going to happen to her. But the word of the Lord from Elijah said, nobody is dying today. Now you go and do what you said you will do, but, you know, you just bring me something first. Fear not, he said unto her. Go and do as thou hast said. In other words, go and bake for your son and so forth. But nobody is dying today. You know. Now, the barrel of meal, glory to God, shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now, you go do whatever you want to do, but bring me something first. Now, the woman, she could have gone her way and not returned. You know, say, well, I don't know what he's talking about, you know, and so forth. But she herself also obeyed the word of the man of God. She went, she baked the thing and brought him a little something to eat. And the next thing you know, she only had a cup that was had some baking flour in it. And, you know, a little bottle of oil. That's all she had left. And she was going to use those elements to bake their last bread, eat and die. But as the word of God came, I mean, that she took off that cup, she baked, she took off that oil, and she used it in the baking. And she found out that there's just every time she went back to the cup and the oil, there was always more there. No matter what she took out of it, there was still more in there. No matter what she took out of it, there was still more in there. And she thought, I only had enough to bake for one day. But she baked that day. She baked the next day. The day after that. The months after that. I don't know how long it took until the Lord said it was time to send back rain. And she had food for herself, for her son, and for the man of God. So you see now how God, why he allowed that brook to dry up. God could have continued to sustain Elijah at the brook by not allowing the brook to dry, by bringing rain supernaturally to the brook, even though there was rain nowhere else. But there was a widow woman crying out to God. Hallelujah. Somewhere. And God needed to fix that situation as well. So, in order for him to get two out of one, he made the brook to dry up so that Elijah could be sent over there. And if, as long as the brook was still supplying Elijah, there would be no reason for him to leave. But that was the commandment. Go and dwell there. But when the brook dried, God sent him someplace else. So there's many lessons that we are learning in these stories today. Now, you know, when God commands us, we need to follow his commandments. And let's not do it partially, but make sure we follow it completely. Now, remember also, with the Lord, it doesn't matter whether there is much or little. God can take a little cup of oil and a little cup of flour and increase it to sustain your needs for a long time. Jesus himself demonstrated the same. He came and took two loaves and five fishes, which were just one small boy's lunch, and he blessed it, put it back in the hands of the apostles, and they, in turn, fed thousands. from just somebody's lunch. I mean, so, you know, it is with God. There is nothing with God. Listen to what Jonathan said in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint. This is the one I want to bring up. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Look, there is no restraint from the Lord to bless you, whether in plenty or during lack. It makes the Lord no difference at all. You know, so we've got to understand this, that there is no restraint to the Lord. He can bless you in season, and he can bless you out of season. In season, blessing means you got a job, you got a farm, everything is flourishing, you're collecting your paycheck all the time, every couple weeks or every week or however it is. Your farm is producing, there is food in your pantry, you know, everything is good. That's in season blessing. But then what about out of season? Well, out of season is the brook is dry. There is, the ravens are cut off. There is nothing again. Even, you know, it looks like the last meal and so on. Yet, God can turn that situation. That's out of season. Now, so it is not for us to look at what we think is the natural supply. Don't worry about that. You know, God can take 2 loaves and 5 fishes, bless it to feed thousands. God can take a small cup of oil, a small cup of flour, and use it to sustain you for many months. Can do it. It's called a barrel, you know, of meal and a cruse of oil. And he can make those blessings come out of there. And we saw that he did. There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. There's no restraint to the Lord to supply you, whether in season or out of season. He can do it too. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29. And here's what the Lord is telling us, that look, God doesn't need, you know, the things that we think in order for him to do the things that he wants to do. You know, we are always thinking one way. You're thinking, well, everything is tripled. You know, I'm hearing that, you know, in Nigeria now, price of gasoline, you know, is more than triple what it used to be. I'm hearing that supply has cut off from everywhere. I'm hearing that there's a lot of hardship. And so, yes, we understand that, and we're praying. And we do not make light of that. However, don't put your trust in those things. You trust in the Lord. And God will find a way. And don't worry about how he's going to do it. That's his business. Your business is to trust the Lord. God will find a way, you know, even in the midst of all that scarcity, to supply your needs. Listen to this in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and the weak things he has chosen to confound the mighty. And base things of this world, which are despised, you know, things God has chosen to bring to naught those things to us, so that no flesh will glory in his presence. God has chosen even the scarcity, the time of scarcity, to bring forth supply to those that hope in him. That's right. So that no flesh will glory in his presence. So that you won't be saying, oh, it's because, you know, I have a good job and I'm able to make good money. That's how God is blessing. Well, that's one way that God can bless you. But I'm saying that even when you don't have a good job, even when the land is dry, when the brook is dry, when the ravens are no longer supplying anything, God says, I have commanded another source of supply. Glory to God. Don't worry about it. He's got these things in his hands. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. That's right. You know, now, let me wrap up and tell us the lessons in this story. Number one, Elijah, as a summary of what we have covered today, Elijah was a man that was acquainted with being in the presence of the Lord. And when the Lord would send him on an errand, he was confident to declare it. In fact, the way he declared the no rain was amazing. Just come out of nowhere and said, except by my word, there will be no rain. You know, and we find that even in the book of James, Apostle James is still testifying about that, concerning Elijah being a man of like passion as we are. And he used his faith to do these things. So we also should have faith in the Lord. Number two, we see that the Lord commanded him. He said, go to the brook. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Now he went and did according to the word of the Lord. The Lord will give you instruction. Psalm 32 and verse 8 says, I will guide you in the way that you should go. That's right. I will guide you with my spirit. Now, so when the Lord guides you, but he said in verse 9 of Psalm 32, he said, don't be like the horse or the mule. You know, you have to jog them around. You know, they don't know where they're going. You have to put bridle and this in their mouth. God said, look, I will guide you. Don't resist. God will guide you. He will give you instruction. He will give you strategy. Hallelujah. Instruction after instruction came to Elijah in this story. But he did according to the word of the Lord. And he trusted the Lord. You know, the Lord, you know, sent him to the brook. He went. The Lord told him, I commanded the ravens, you know, to feed you. Elijah didn't argue and say, but Lord, the ravens, those are unclean birds. He didn't argue anything. The Lord, he just went. And then one day he saw that the brook was drying up. He didn't get there and start rebuking the brook and the brook, start commanding the devil to come out of the brook. He knew when the Lord told him, the brook is dry for a reason. Leave this place. I've got another instruction right now. He knew that, and he went and did it. Now, the Lord, step by step, little by little, was revealing the word of the Lord to him. The Lord didn't tell him everything all at once. The Lord didn't tell him that this place where I'm sending you to, the brook will be dry after such and such a time. The Lord just told him, go there. So that's another lesson we should learn from these things. I may give you instruction today. You know, when you get there, something may change. And the Lord already knows it, but he doesn't tell you everything. If he told you that the brook was going to be dry after 2 months of being there, maybe you won't go, but he wants you to go. So he'll just give you one instruction for now. You follow it. When there is time for a new instruction, he will give you new instruction. And you also have to follow that. But when the brook is dry, that brook is dry. God may not replenish that brook. When it's dry, it's dry. And he may allow the brook to dry up, so that he may do something else. Sometimes when you're in a situation and God wants to bless you and he was trying to nudge you to move and you don't move, then he may make the situation difficult for you. You may begin to get difficulty on your job, opposition and everything out of nowhere. You know, people that liked you before, all of a sudden they come out against you and so forth. Well, God's making the brook to dry up. You know, it's like the eagle. You know, when he wants the little eaglet to fly and they don't fly, he will stir up that nest. They don't do it. Then he go and bring thorns. The mother eagle will go and bring thorns for the eaglet to put the thorns in the nest to make the place uncomfortable, you know, to get that little eaglet to get out of there and fly. You know, so God may make the situation uncomfortable, you know, so that you can reach out and believe God for greater things. He's always got greater things ahead. And step by step, he gave commandment, things that he commands, divine appointments that God sets up. The parties that are involved may not even know anything about it, yet God has set it up. So we see a lot of lessons today, and God will supply your needs throughout all of the various things. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse 11, let me close out with this. You know, no matter what is going on around you, you know, God is able to satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. Even in drought. He said, the Lord shall guide thee continually. Isaiah 58 and verse 11. That's right. and he will satisfy thy soul in drought, and he will make thy bones to be fat, and you will be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. This is not a brook that's going to dry. The Lord has a way to sustain you if you follow his guidance. Remember, he starts by saying, the Lord shall guide you continually. You know, this is what we need in our day. We need fresh guidance. That's the continually part. You know, not just instruction for yesterday. We need instruction for today. He will guide you continually, and he will satisfy your soul in drought. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I'm going to leave it there and just pray that the Lord will give you understanding and encouragement by these words. There are many stories in the Bible, you know, full of just what to the plain eye looks like just regular stories. However, you know, when you are designing the voice of the Lord, can show you many lessons in those stories. So these are the lessons we see in this story that Elijah went through, even though it was just a natural looking story. So Father, I thank you for everyone that listened in today. And we thank you for the word of encouragement that we have shared, knowing that you are able to sustain us and you are able to use any means, even areas that we may condemn. God can use those means. Just like the ravens that were condemned as birds that were unclean, God was able to still use them if he wanted to. And every command that we have, at every instruction and every point in time, may we open our ears to lend our ears to the mind of the Spirit and instruction from God for new instruction for the present conflict. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And as you guide us, thank you for the promise that you will keep guide us continuously and you will satisfy our soul even in drought. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Help us to believe you for these things and see the reward of our confidence in the Lord. Cast not, therefore, your confidence away, which has great recompense of reward. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.